What's up, everybody? Trevor John Wayne here. Very happy to be back on the Hollywood Raw podcast. In this episode, we're talking about my missed opportunities of being able to go home and spend a wild night with Lindsay Lohan, and also a similar situation with completely destroying my opportunity with Miley Cyrus. It's fun. I also talk about a business opportunity that I had with Suge Knight. You're going to like this one.
Hey, everybody, it's Tony Robbins.
Hey, guys, I'm Audrina Patrick.
Hey, this is Adam Carolla.
You're on the Hollywood Raw podcast.
You're watching Hollywood Raw.
You're listening to and watching Hollywood Raw.
This is the Hollywood Raw podcast, hosted by entertainment veteran Dax Holt and street journalist Adam Glenn. The podcast humanizing Hollywood. From celebrities to media moguls, even paparazzi and bodyguards have come to break news, break their silence, or just have a great conversation on Hollywood Raw. If they are on Hollywood Raw, there's a reason. From Page Six to TMZ, Daily Mail, and People Magazine, everyone is talking about the Hollywood Raw podcast with Dax Holt and Adam Glenn.
Welcome to the Hollywood Raw podcast, where we like to say we humanize Hollywood. We reveal the fourth wall of Hollywood. What does that mean? You'll see actually on today's episode, because we got a really, really good guest. My name is Adam Glenn, joined by my buddy Dax Holt. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. I'm excited for Mr. Trevor Wayne, who we are having back for round two. If you guys have not listened to the first episode, I highly recommend it. Trevor is such a good guest. He is a former TMZ producer. He's a street journalist, and he has some amazing stories. And his stories were so good during our first interview, we're like, whoa, 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 whoa. We need to have him back, because we have only touched the tip of the iceberg with all the good content that he has. So he is back for round two. This week has been crazy, though, Adam. I mean, how many stories did we get out there when in the press with Jim Edmonds and Courtney? I mean, damn, it was everywhere this week. It was really cool.
Yeah, it was very cool. We also got a lot of shit for it, too. People like, let's be real. People were like, oh, why don't you get Megan? And honestly, like, we reach out to a lot of people. I don't want to go back and forth and back and forth. I don't care. I do an interview, we move on. Like, I just don't want to make this the, I don't want to go to court for this whole debacle. You know, like, it's not our issue.
I do it's feel just like, it's already
he agreed
so
to come
messy.
On. We talked to him. I just don't want to waste your guys' time and go back and forth. But it's cool to hear his perspective, because we haven't heard him talk. First time meeting him. Honestly, I heard his side. I heard her side. What? I don't know what to believe.
Her,
I just
kind
of did.
And if you guys have a chance, she did release a whole episode on her podcast responding to his stuff. So I feel like we're going to leave it right there. He said his side. She has now responded and said her side. And we are going to kindly step out of that conversation and let them figure it out as parents, as, you know, as humans, all of that. So I wish them much luck. I do, honestly, at the end of the day, I hope that they can find some peace. I hope they can figure their shit out, because they have kids involved. And that's all we want. We want them to do what's best for the children.
Yeah, today's episode is one of our guests that you guys love. You guys love to hear, like, the dirt, what really goes on in the business, you know? And these guys today, these journalists, paparazzi, whatever you want to call them, they're the ones in the thick of it. They're the ones who get to see what goes down. They get to see what celebrities are really like. And that happens with Trevor. Trevor's got insane stories. Again, listen to part one. Everyone said we want to hear more of Trevor. He's back today. Before we get to him, let's read some reviews. Dax, you have some ready?
I got some ready. All right. This one comes from More of Margoth, I think is how you say the name. 5 stars, consistent excellence. This podcast is so different than others. It's refreshing, fact-based, a different point of view. They focus on the story and not themselves. Although they do share personal experiences with famous people, the show is never about them. It's about the news. I love the different type of guests they have and how much they share. Dax and Adam have great chemistry and they respect each other. Love, love this show. It is one of those binge-worthy shows. I also don't miss out on their Facebook group. Do not sleep on it. They share great things in the community, often has great input on stories, ideas, and for new shows. Emmy Moore.
Nice. Very nice. What a review.
I like that not only are you a listener, but you are a Facebook group member for Off the Record, because it is a fun community. Come join us for sure.
For sure. Dax, you have one more before we get to Trevor?
Yep. This one, loyal Juicy Scooper, now real Raw fan. Loved your interview with Heather. Legit shocked. I'm just finding you guys binging old episodes while I work in the garden. Cheers to many people driving 3 hours to come see you soon. Aw. Well, thanks, that Tess cool. OGP. Do appreciate that.
Tess OGP, thank you. Thank you, guys. Leave a review. Again, it's best you do to support us. All right, Dax, our guest today.
Our guest today, Trevor Wayne. You guys know him. You love him. You requested him to come back for a second appearance on this show. He is a former TMZ producer, camera guy, and has thousands of amazing stories that we are going to get into today. Trevor, welcome back.
Trevor, thank you for joining the podcast again. Everyone loved your last appearance. And again, if you're listening now, go back and listen to Trevor's first appearance on the podcast. Trevor, you're one of the few paparazzi that actually got to cross over and hook up with a celebrity, which I think is every paparazzi's like dream. I think there's one other paparazzi that did that, and he actually had a good one on his resume. He had Britney Spears. You had Aubrey O'Day. Both good. Both good. But it's funny for you because
I can't believe you just compared Trevor to Adnan. I feel like they're in two very different worlds.
Two very different levels of greasy, okay? Adnan was a good-looking dude from what I remember. He wore a lot of those like puffer vests, though. You know, they were never really in.
Yeah,
Diesel
but
jeans.
I also, the whole time I felt like it was just, I don't know, it felt a little dirty to me. I'd love to talk to Adnan, though, because maybe I got an impression of him that really wasn't there, but it just seemed weird that whole time. You know what I'm saying? Like, it seemed like Britney was so out of it during those days that she was almost like tricked into a lot of stuff.
For sure.
Yeah, but you so
Britney, weird.
So we talked about your time with, you know, with
Aubrey.
Real quick, Dax, have you been to Irvine Spectrum Center since our last?
I have not. I have not gone down there. But trust me, I will think of you next time I go.
When you find the carousel by the yard house, just be like.
And guys, if again, like Adam said, if you have not gone back and listened to part one of this, all of this will make sense. So pause where we're at right now. Go listen to part one with Trevor. Come back, and all of these stories will start to make sense to you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, did you
have a hooked up with
any other ones or come close? Do you have any close calls?
Yeah, I had some fucking close calls, man. More close calls than I did have of closing, all right? Which to this day,
it's not what we want, but still cool.
No, it's not. But you know, you got to shoot them all and hopefully something lands. So, honestly, one of the ones that I remember most is potentially going home with Lindsay Lohan one night. Actually, sorry, I pronounced her name wrong. It's Lohan, right?
I think she's changed it a couple times over the years.
We'll go with Lilo.
Most people know her as Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah. Okay.
You almost hooked up with Lindsay Lohan?
Yeah. So, you know, in Hollywood, you would go to the nightclubs on the weeknights, not the weekends. That's when San Fernando Valley and the IE, everyone's coming out from, you know, the 9-to-5 stress they've been put through all week. But if you lived in Hollywood, you would go to the nightclubs Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. And we frequented the illustrious Bootsy Bellows. Okay. It's on the border of West Hollywood and Beverly Hills on Sunset Boulevard. And, we knew the door guys, and we also had a buddy named Brett Gursky. He still works in Hollywood, and he was our backroom guy, the VIP guy, okay? And he was friends with my roommates, so on Tuesdays, we were on the backroom list. So this one night, we get to Bootsy Bellows, dap up the door dudes and say, we're Brett's buddies. He's waiting for us in the back, and they unlock the castle gates and let us back there. Now, Brett didn't drink, but he always had a bottle of chill Jack Daniels waiting for us, and when we got back there, it was flowing. Couple hours in, it's going great. Just another Tuesday night with the boys, but Lindsay Lohan happens to be on the other side of the room. And my buddy, Alex Stone, who is still to this day one of my best friends, he's a fashion and commercial photographer. He loved pop culture. He loves celebrity news. He still does. Still to this day, when somebody dies and TMZ posts the obituary post, Alex is the first person to send it to me. Like when... oh my God, why do I always blank out on names? Hoonigan, the crazy race car driver. Help me out, guys.
I know who you're talking about.
Ken Block. Ken Block. Like, Ken Block died last week, and I wake up to a text message from Alex thinking he's going to tell me, and it's just a fucking screenshot of TMZ's obituary post. So Alex loves celebrities. So we see Lindsay Lohan, and he goes, bro, Lindsay Lohan's here. And I'm like, well, let's go say hey. So we pick up the drinks. We walk over to where she's at in the club. She's at a table with a bunch of different people. And it's just nice to close the proximity on celebrities. This is like the best part. Sometimes it, just being around them is cool.
That's Lindsay Lohan in her element.
Oh, yeah.
And sorry, what year are we talking so I can place like where we're at in Lindsay's timeline?
The saga here. This was like 2012.
Okay, so we're going 2012-ish. Is this Liz and Dick era of Lindsay? No. Like we're past the 2007. We're past like court dates.
This is post Samantha Ronson.
Okay.
I believe.
So yeah, I think
this is back into like heterosexual Lindsay Lohan.
Okay. Okay.
At least that's what it felt like. You. So we go over there just trying to get a little peek, and she ends up getting up from the table and she ends up like walking right in front of us. And I stick my hand out. My buddy's like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, stick my hand out in front of her. I go, "Yo, the only person in this club that could pull off those mom jeans you're wearing is you." And that was it. That's all I had to say. It was arm in arm, and she is dragging me off. And I look back at my buddy Alex, and I'm just like, peace. I'm out of here, dude. I know where I'm going. It is going to be, I mean, Lindsay liked to party, guys. You know, okay? And I've heard stories, so I'm just like, take me wherever you want. And let's make this quick. Let's get out of here. Like, I'm done with the club. So she goes, "Hey, let me take you over to the DJ and introduce you. He's my friend." I'm like,
fuck. I'm still thinking of your pickup line. That was your pickup line?
Mom jeans.
Are you sure she wasn't like, "Cool, nah. I need a new best friend"?
That hit home, Dax. She's been waiting for that compliment since she bought those jeans, okay? And I hit it on the head. I said, "Yo, mom jeans, looking great. Nobody in here could pull those off but you." And that was just, oh, get over here. So she walks me over to the DJ, starts talking to him, and I realize this isn't good because the DJ's booth is literally bordering the table where all my friends are sitting. They're completely supportive. They want me to go home with Lindsay Lohan. However, there was a monkey wrench in this situation, a loose screw, if you will. And my roommate had a girl out with him this night. This is one of my other roommates. I had like three of them. And we would always travel out together. So one of my roommates had this girl who I've never even fucking met before. She's just his Tuesday fling. And as me and Lindsay are walking back towards her section, this girl fucking stands up all drunk and shit and goes, hey, are you Nicki Minaj? I'm like, Nicki fucking Minaj. What? Like, Nicki Minaj and who are you comparing to? And Lindsay didn't take kindly to that, like just reactionary, lets go of my arm and goes, "Excuse me." And that was it. Like,
no,
I'm frozen in confusion, pissed, looking at this girl like, "Who the fuck are you talking to like that?" And I look over and Lindsay had like third base signaled, probably this third base signal. You know what I mean? And her crew was up. And I literally remember just seeing the back door shut. Like, oh, That's it. I could have been right now.
Why would she leave the club though? Like, why peace out?
I don't know, Dax. I don't know. But I
did. Did you say anything to your friend's girlfriend? Like, what the hell was that about?
I'm more looking at my roommate like, "Who the fuck did you bring out with us, bro?" And he's just like, "Bro, she's a girl. She's been drinking. They say weird stuff." I'm like, God.
All right, guys, we need to take a quick moment to talk about today's sponsor, which is Factor Meals. Remember, if you support them, that is just, you know, giving back because they support us. So pay it forward and head on over to factormeals.com/rawpod50. Use our code rawpod50 to get 50% off your first month plus 20% off your next month.
Yeah, there's too much stress in life. So eat stress-free this season with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never frozen meal is chef crafted, dietitian approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. That's amazing. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options. You could do stuff like calorie smart, keto, protein plus, vegan, veggie. Make it up. I'm sure they got it. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals.
Yeah, I mean, I like to eat like a king, and you will. You get these chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals. You can get back to what you're doing, what you love to do this spring, because it's just so quick and easy. Or maybe you're someone that likes, you know, fancier meals. Well, they've got these gourmet meals. You can try these premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, asparagus. I mean, you even sound fancy eating them. I'm getting hungry, man.
Yeah, it sounds good. Go to factormeals.com/rawpod50 and use code rawpod50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's rawpod50 at factormeals.com/rawpod50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
All right, guys, let's get right back into this.
Oh,
that is crazy. That sucks, man.
Did we fucking lose Adam?
Yeah, he said he couldn't hear. He texted me and said he couldn't hear, but there we go. He's back.
Dax, I could have been in the back of a fucking TLC Suburban. TLC is a company that basically just shuttles celebrities around doing Colombian Bam Bam. Not my thing. Not my thing. Never been my thing. But winning Hollywood. You know what I mean?
Oh, I am so sorry, buddy. That is brutal.
It's all good.
And nothing's worse than sitting there thinking about what could have been.
What could have been, guys?
You would have had the best, most epic hangover the next day.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
We would have called that the Lohan hangover.
Mm-hmm. The lowest of low. So, yeah.
What the fuck is going on with Adam?
It's a missed opportunity, Dax.
That sucks.
However, man, I didn't fuck that one up. That was out of my control. There was other ones that I fucked up.
Who else was a close call?
Fuck. Unfortunately, Miley Cyrus.
No.
Are you close calls, dude. We would have been great together. I'm not even kidding.
Okay. Okay, walk me through your Miley Cyrus encounter then. I need to hear from top to bottom.
There was a sushi restaurant me and my boys used to eat at all the time. Cheap sushi, cheap sake. It was in Hollywood. It was called Kabuki, like Kabuki Theater. I think it's maybe still there. Who knows? But we go there all the time. And this one afternoon, just another day, we go there. We sit at the sushi bar. We order a couple rolls and a little bit of sake. And who sits down to my left? Miley fucking Cyrus, guys. Okay? And she's with, you know, this skinny little guy friend of hers, and they start talking, and I was sitting in the sunlight. Sorry, hold on. My girlfriend's Japanese Siri is fucking going off because she thought I said Siri. Siri.
Siri.
Siri! Yamate kudasai. Okay.
That was awesome. So I said, what did you say to Siri?
I told her to stop. Yamate means like stop. And then I said kudasai, which is like a very, very like a proper way to say please. You even got to talk to the machines like with extra respect.
I like
it's unreal.
It.
Okay, so Miley sits down next to my left and she's got this like, you know, little guy friend of hers, and they start talking together, and I'm like, well, you fucking... So I remember leaning back in my chair and doing everything I can to be as like discreet as possible, but like confirming, holy shit, it's Miley Cyrus. And I was sitting in the sunlight because I remember I had sunglasses on, and this is what allowed me to like constantly have a side eye on them. And I remember her and him like kind of tapping each other, and she mouthed, he's cute. I'm not like, I know what I saw. Okay. So I see he's cute. I'm like, oh, it's fucking on. Okay. Take a bite, take a swig of the sake. I stand up and I walk just two seats over to my left. And I like put my hand down on the sushi bar and I say, excuse me, I don't mean to interrupt. And her buddy goes, oh, you're not interrupting. I'm like, great. And Miley goes, yeah, have a seat. Sit down. What's up? What's your name? And I go, hey, I'm Trevor. Nice to meet you. I go, to be honest with you, I go, I find you incredibly cute. I go, you're adorable. And that's how I led into it. And this is what I learned as I got older, is you don't need pickup lines. You don't need this fluffy bullshit when you're talking to women. You literally just compliment them. It could be anything from their shoes to their fragrance and
to their mom jeans.
Yeah, to the mom jeans. That's a daring one, but it worked. So I had some experience with how to talk to her without, like, you know, just cut to the chase. Just tell her you think she's cute. But I was also real naive at this time. I hadn't been working for TMZ very long, and I know who I am, but I didn't realize how, like, negative of a stigma the paparazzi carried, let alone TMZ, especially from an A-lister's perspective like Miley. So I'm talking to her. I tell her she's cute, and she's like, dude, I live in Toluca Lake. Where do you live? I'm like, I'm in Studio City. We're like fucking neighbors. And she's like, do you blaze? I'm like, baby, we're in California. She's like, you should come over. Music and weed. I'm like, God is just giving it to me today. Until I don't know why, but I had mentioned to her something about me working for TMZ, and she immediately was like, skirt! You're not cute anymore. I'm like, no. Like, look, it's still me. Like, I just do this for this company. She's like, no, you're not cute anymore. Go back to your seat. I'm like, fuck, dude. Like, my third grade teacher who I'm flirting with, here's your apple, Mrs. Cyrus. She's like, go sit down. Go sit down and do your homework.
Is it weird that I literally feel awkward in this moment right now? No. For you, for something that happened a long time ago.
Bro, this happened like 11 years ago, and I still God, think about
I'm like
it.
Cringing inside of my heart
the
for
worst,
you.
The worst! My friends are like, you are a fucking idiot, bro. Like, the only one thing you didn't need to say, you said. And so
you could have said, I work for a production company. I mean, you could have left it as anything.
Could have been a fucking plumber with my ass crack hanging out. Like, it doesn't.
And then she could have got to know you first and, like, see how cool you were before Dex. You brought in the three letter word.
PAP. Oh, TMZ. Fuck, dude. So yeah, that was Lindsay Lohan was disheartening because it was out of my control, but.
Yeah.
Woo! When there's no one else to place blame on but yourself, those.
So did you just do like a walk of shame back to your table, or like how did that whole thing wrap up?
Sadly, Dax, the walk of shame was two bar seats over. So I am just wallowing in the filth that I've created for myself, and I think at the time we had pretty much, like, you know, cashed out, and my boys were like, "It's time to go, bud." Time to go, like, back of the collar, time to go, bud. And I remember getting outside, and one of my buddies was smoking a cigarette, and I'm like, pacing, literally pacing. And I'm going, I got to go back in there. I got to go in there and redeem myself. And they're like, dude, you fucked up so bad that there is no redemption. Go ahead and look in the window. She's gone. And that was it. I never fucking saw her again. Never saw her on the job. Never knew anybody that knew her. Was over. Okay. Dude, and I'll tell you right now,
it could have been Miley Wayne right now, but it's not.
It would have been Trevor Cyrus, okay? Would have gladly taken the last name, okay? Billy Ray would have been my stepdaddy. Mm-hmm. It would have been probably just
actually your father-in-law is what we like to call it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My father. Yeah, so that sucked. I mean, Miley's a cool chick. I see her now, and she's just like, she's a little baddie, and she likes the ganja she's and awesome. Having a good time. I'm like, this could have been something. This could have been. Yeah, but I instead, you know, she gets into an A-list relationship with Liam, and stress, baby. I would have been doing laundry, washing dishes.
Hey, you really fucked this one up, Trevor.
Really fucked it up.
Not going to lie.
But I got Aubrey.
Now, was Aubrey before or after Miley?
Way after.
Way after. Way after. Okay.
I had kind of
did you work? I was going to say, did you? So you're like out at. Did your shift, I guess, when you worked, were you working days or nights?
I started daytime. And I think in episode one, I explained how bad I was at these daytime hours. You had. So TMZ would work the cameramen in 10-hour shifts, and they would kind of structure the crew like police, like cops who had a beat. There's a paparazzo cameraman at LAX. There's one in Beverly Hills. There's one in downtown LA. There's one in Studio City in the Valley, and they'd spread them around. So they would cover all locales of the 30-mile zone. And you would network with other paparazzi that happened to work within your zone, and you guys would, you know, share information and help, you know, get the job done a little bit better. But nighttime was a 10-hour shift, and you'd start at 6 p.m., and you'd go till 4 a.m. Now, as a born night owl, this is where I really honed in on my TMZ experience, TMZ skill, because I just wasn't awake enough. You guys know? You guys know you guys were courteous enough to start this a little later in the day for me, because fucking 9 a.m., I just, like, I'm not really awake yet. I go to bed at like 2 a.m. every night. So I really struggled at the beginning of TMZ working the day shift. And like I had mentioned in episode one, I got fired like 9 months in just because I was like fucking late all the time and like missing early morning shots. Got my job back, weaseled my way into night crew. And then, like I said, that's where I really like kind of like sharpened my skill. Night crew, I thought, was a lot easier because you can plan what's going on in the night, because at night, people are doing two things. One, they're going to dinner. Two, they're going out after dinner, whether it's a bar or a club. Okay, that's it. So you know where they're going. Depending on where you're based that night to shoot, you've got your hot spots. You've got your hot restaurants. You've got your hot clubs. And if no one's at your hot restaurant, which is rare, you can go check out the less hot spots and try to find somebody. But it was easy
at
night.
How did you guys know who was like in a restaurant at night? And then this question's for you too, Adam, because how do you guys know? Like, if you show up to a restaurant, you haven't been tipped off there, but you know that it's like the popular hot spot. And I'm not saying Craig's, because I feel like Craig's is too big now, but whatever. Restaurant.
I've done this. I've done this at Craig's. I was just in Miami for last month, and I did it in Miami. I do it everywhere. I try to dress presentable. I'm not dressing anything fancy. I'm just looking presentable, and I take a very quick, confident walk through the restaurant. Like, I'm either trying to find a friend or trying to meet someone, and I just take a real quick walk through the restaurant, trying to find the table or trying to find the bathroom, and try to spot people in the restaurant. Now, it gets weird if I do find a celebrity in the restaurant, and then I go back outside and have my camera ready, and the door guy's like, wait, weren't you just inside? And then they kind of catch on. But
what a fucking expert, dude.
I do.
What
I mean,
an expert, Adam.
You got to do it. I'm very good at kind of being very nonchalant, like walking in very confident, like I'm there to meet someone. But literally, I'm just kind of taking the quickest lap through the restaurant trying to spot someone. Now, it's funny.
Adam, can I ask?
Because, yeah.
Why didn't you just ask the door guy?
Because I don't know all the door guys, and not all the times are the door guys going to help you. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes the door guy is not good at even spotting celebrities that they don't even know. Mm-hmm. So, for example, like the restaurant Carbone, they're not going to help me. You know, they're used to, they don't know who I am. They're just not going to be good. But some places, like, it's like 50-50. Some places are the place. I was just at a restaurant. There was a Greek restaurant. There was a celebrity inside, and the manager was outside. I was like, hey, man. And I told him what I'm doing. I was like, I got a tip here. Is this person still here? He's like, what were they wearing? And he knew. And he was like, yeah, they actually just left. And he was right. He wasn't trying to be a dick to me. He was trying to help me out.
Yeah, do they ask you guys for money? Like, is it a
thing? No.
Like, they want a tip to give you who's inside?
No, because you know what it is? I don't have money to give. So, I don't have money to give. So, most people, I don't give people money. What I try to do, and because I don't make enough money, I'm going to be realistic, guys. Like, look at me. Come on. I'm dressed like I'm about to go fucking shovel a driveway.
Please, you look but like a fucking New York millionaire, bro.
Yeah, because I have a couch. Yeah.
Yeah. And your hat on.
Yeah. But know what I do? It's here's what I try to do for my tipsters. And I don't know if I'm giving out the secret recipe, but at least this is what I've tried to do. The tipsters I have become my friends. I don't want to put money on, because again, I don't really make that much money. And there's no really definition how much money the tip is going to be. So what I try to do is develop relationships with these people. And I always ask people if they can meet anybody, who's the three people they want to meet. I have a good memory. If people give me the three people they always want to meet, And when I have a chance or opportunity and I run into someone who someone says they always want to meet, I try to bring them around so they get to meet the person they've always wanted to meet. And that goes a longer way than money. Because once you bring money involved, they expect cash every time. But sometimes you get a shot and there's no money involved. So there's no way to really, like, you don't make any money. So there's no way to, like, just guarantee money. It just gets really gross and weird.
That's why, you know, working for TMZ, they've got fucking cash. So it was easy to kick 50s out to get some info.
Well, Trevor, would you do the same thing? Would you walk through a restaurant or something like that?
Yeah, constantly do the fake phone call shit and just put my phone in my ear. But the worst is when it was like showing my home screen, you know, which is clearly like indicating that I'm not actually on the phone. I remember one time
I call that the Paris Hilton.
Yes, dude.
The fake phone call.
She was great at it. She was really good at it. She made it look good. I remember one time getting a tip. So this is a little different. I had a tip, but I didn't have confirmation that they were actually inside. So I did have to go inside and do some recon. And it was for Vince Vaughn, and it was in Santa Monica. And I remember looking around the entire like landing area and not seeing him, but then having to like go up the mezzanine. Isn't that what it's called in the second level? The mez? I think it's called the mez. In the restaurant industry, guys, the mez. It's like the second floor.
Okay.
So I walk up the staircase, and lo and behold, there's my boy Vince. What's up, baby? And I remember like going into the bathroom, which like the door like was like straight to his back, and just going, "I got you." But yeah,
so did you film him when he came out?
Yeah, he wasn't cool, unfortunately.
Yeah, Vince doesn't like cameras. He's not a fan of the camera.
I was trying to like give him that fucking swingers baby shit, and it just like really was not landing well. He wasn't so rude. It was his buddy. And this was the thing, is like celebrities' buddies would always like get more agitated and aggressive than the actual celebrity.
Funny? It's like they feel like they need to protect their friends or whatever.
Get the fuck out of here, bro.
Douchebags.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It's like, dude, Vince is cool. He's just not talking to me, but he's not like irate. And that's where situations would get like a little dangerous, is when these like X factors would come into play, like friends of the celebrity that are doing too much. It's like, dude, maybe this is your first time experiencing being with your friend who's a celebrity and a paparazzo shows up, but they're used to this shit.
Yeah.
Like all they do is just go zip, and I don't really have much to work with.
It's funny how like people can easily like criticize, you know, camera guys out there. They're like, "Oh, you didn't ask the right question. You're dumb." And I'm thinking, if for someone who's never been there and never seen what it's like to have to come up with a question that's smart, that's relevant, that's newsworthy in 4 seconds, shit is not easy. Like, not easy at all. I don't know how you guys do it.
It's become like a sixth sense or just like second nature for us, because we don't even think about it. But it's funny. I get hate all the time on my social media. I'm like, listen, if I knew who was going to show up at the time they're going to show up and not have someone kind of pushing me, not a homeless guy trying to kick me, trying to get money out of the person. It's like there's so many factors that go into it, where it's not the Today Show, where it's not a real interview and it's just acting. It's not a red carpet where you see the person walking up from a distance and you've had, you know, 2 weeks to think of the questions. You don't even have time to go on your phone to even Google to confirm that that's the exact person. You just don't know. So you just kind of wing it and just trying to go with it. And that's the adrenaline and fun I love of it. Like that's, but I also think that's the charm of it too, because it's not the cleanest interview, but it's the most real interview, if that makes sense.
It's but again, Hollywood Raw, fellas.
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
Hollywood Raw.
It's raw.
Well, so wait, Trevor. So you mentioned like, you know, situations honestly getting scary. Have you had any scary situations with a celebrity? Like, you know, I know you said it's always the friend, but have you ever had a dangerous, a celebrity come to you as a night of partying? It was just like, dude, get the camera away from me or try to come after you, because you did nightlife.
Yeah, nightlife was way more exciting because there's alcohol and shit going on, and you're dealing with like unsavory individuals like NBA players. NBA players were, I think, some of the most risky or dangerous to shoot, because they're constantly doing shit they shouldn't be doing. such as Out with Women Who Aren't Their Wife. And they would get really, really upset when they would see the light turn on. And they're in the parking lot of a club. And I'm like, yo, whoever, like, you pick them, NBA player. Like, oh, wait, this isn't your wife. Actually, hold on. Get back to the questions. Like, dude, like, they would get really, really, really aggressive. And then their security detail or their entourage and friends would press you physically. They would, like, they were intimidating because they knew they were out doing things they shouldn't be doing, which is just so silly. With cameras like me right there, like, they're in Hollywood. Like, they're not in, like, you know, on a road game in fucking Idaho somewhere. Like, they're in West Hollywood having an affair, and then they're losing their shit when I'm like, hey, dude, so what's your pregame ritual? Like, do you know what I mean? And like, oh, wait, you're not with your wife. Who's this? It was bad. But
well, I feel like people make dumb decisions when they're drunk anyway. My fear would be like, it's that like professional fighter, like a boxer or a UFC fight. Like, those are the guys that, like, I feel like you get them drunk, you get them all hopped up, and they're the ones that you should be freaked out about.
Well, there was one, and I'm a lifelong martial artist. I've been training martial arts since I was 5 years old, and I feel like along with the training, I had developed a really good, just natural sense to pick up on danger. Like, it's a really uncomfortable internal feeling that I'll get when I feel threatened, and it just like has all my senses up, and it like makes me naturally just like want to put my hands up to get prepared. Like, my hands are almost shaking like right now trying to remember how this feeling is. But I'm a huge UFC fan. I've been watching mixed martial arts professionally on television for 15 years. And Nick Diaz, who is one of my all-time favorite mixed martial artists, Nick Diaz, brother of Nate Diaz from UFC, he was coming out of a club one night. It was One Oak on Sunset. I had met Nick once before, and it was on Melrose during the day, and I lived on Melrose, and I was just walking across the street to get a sandwich from the deli, and I lived on the like western side of Melrose, and it was more of like the fashion district as opposed to like all the pot shops, tattoo shops and stuff. And so it was real out of place to see him there. He was just fucking standing on the corner of my street. And I'm like, Nick Diaz? And he's like, yeah, what's up, bro? I'm like, holy shit, I'm a huge fan. Can I get a picture with you? And for me, being a paparazzo, if I'm ever requesting a picture from a celebrity, like, that's like starstruck shit. Like, I don't need a picture with any of them. You're like, I'm having a full conversation with you. But for me to want like a picture with you to like immortalize this run-in, that means a lot. And so running into Nick, I actually probably could find the photo, but it's me, my little sub sandwich and my bag of chips, and we're just standing next to each other, super cool. And then months later, I'm out in front of this club and I see Nick. I didn't know he was inside, but he's real identifiable. He's like, you know, he looks like a pro fighter, he's got curly brown hair, I know him. And he comes out of the club and he's like kind of stumbling, but he's fireman's carrying a girl out of the club, like full on, like bashed her over the head on the inside. And no, I'm just kidding. She's probably drunk. So he's carrying her out and he's with three guys, one of them who I found out was his manager. So I run across the street, light on, camera on, yo, Nick, what's up? And the look in his eyes was pay-per-view, main event, I'm his opponent, and he's going to tear my face off. It was fucking frightening. I get up to him, and the way he puts this girl down was like, she's not even here anymore. He just kind of goes like,
it's his championship belt he took off his shoulder.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Like, you want this, buddy? I remember going, hey, Nick, like, you've got an upcoming situation. And he just like goes and like approaches me. I don't even remember him saying anything. I think he might've said a couple of vulgarities. But the one thing that stuck with me was his manager, who was like, this is a real small circle. It was like me, his manager, him, and maybe the girl and another guy. It was real tight on the sidewalk. And I've got the camera on Nick and he's looking at me like he's going to fuck me up. And the manager, I'm like almost stuttering my words right now. The manager looks at him and just really slowly, softly goes, Nick, don't. Like, look at the fucking goosebumps, guys. Can you see this shit? Look at the hair standing up. Nick, don't. I'm like, I'm out. Like he's talking to him like he's done this shit before. Like, Nick, don't. Like, So, dude, trembling a little bit. So that was my, like, probably potentially, because I know also, you know, that dude would, like you said, Dax, alcohol, professional fighters, he's very capable of destroying me. That was a situation that was just a little
uncomfortable.
Yeah, it was unnerving to say the least.
Did I ever tell you guys that I, when TMZ first started, I actually did go out in the streets to like film. Like they tested me on it. I sucked. I was awful. It was like back in the TMZ days when we didn't know what our voice was. Hmm. And so we were covering red carpets. We were covering junkets and gifting suites and all this crap. And until we kind of realized like people don't really care. Like people don't want necessarily red carpet. It's too bleh. And people don't give up great answers on red carpets. Fashion is like maybe the biggest thing, but you can get that out of a photo. You don't need, you know, an interview on a red carpet. And so they would send us, I remember I got sent to like the Desperate Housewives set once, got Nicolette Sheridan, like her dog hanging out. But I was so nervous the whole time. I was literally like, it was in Burbank somewhere at like a shopping center, I think it was. I think there was like an IKEA there, and I was up on the second story of this parking garage, like in the stairwell, like looking over the edge, like worried someone was going to see me filming them. And I was like all like the whole time freaking out. I remember getting some of the American Idol contestants every. So this was like season three, I think, like when Catherine McPhee was on. And they would, we found out that they would go to Buca de Beppo's after the taping night. That was where production would take them. Isn't that a weird location?
Mm. Buca de Beppo. Adam, what do you think of Buca de Beppo as a, you know, a man from New York City?
I mean, listen, I think it's an interesting spot. But you go from, you go for whatever is good. But it's, I mean, actually, I've heard good things about that place. So I think it's pretty solid. I'll tell you what, though. I used to always love people I know, like that I'm friends with or close with, to come with me to work and see what I do on the streets, because it's a very ballsy job. Just think about it. A celebrity, A-list, B-list, C-list, D-list, is walking down the street. They don't know what's going to happen, okay? They don't know. They're just walking down the street, and you have to pull a camera out in front of random people, make a scene possibly, and try to get an interview out of them. Like, it's a very, very ballsy job. And I remember I like had like a self-reflection. I was like, I don't know if I feel like a good person doing this, because it was so like ambush. But then I realized like I could do it in a way, like in a dance where there's like a little bit of charm to it. Like I realized like if I saw a celebrity down the street, I don't just run up to him with the camera. What my strategy, again, is what I would do is I would get in position where if they're walking down the street, I would get like 50 yards ahead of him in the direction and put myself in a position where they kind of walk towards the camera, and I want them to see me. I'm not hiding. I want them to see me from a distance. Therefore, if they keep walking towards me, I know like, hey, they might want to talk, or B, they might want to engage, or C, if they cross the street after they see me, that means A, they're not into it. So it was just like, I'm not like just boom, gotcha. It was more like having them walk into it. It was a little bit more heartening, but it is a very ballsy job. Like anybody who like shit talks us and says, you know, oh, I could do this, oh, you ask stupid questions, I'm like, try it, then let me know how you do, because it's not easy, dude. It's so ridiculous.
I was such a bad paparazzi. Adam didn't even want to hear the end of my story.
Yeah,
that's how bad of a paparazzi I was.
Yeah, no, it's I'm sorry. I just
it's not an easy job. It's like, it's nerve-wracking, it's kind of freaky. You never know what like people are going to respond to you about. So they clearly did not want me out in the field anymore, and I had to leave that to the professionals.
You're too cute.
Yeah, I don't even say we're professionals. We're just I don't know if we're professionals.
No,
we're just
you
ballsy.
Are good at what you do. Don't take that away.
The fact
that you can ask questions in 2 seconds, they're newsworthy, they're amazing. Like, what you guys do is a talent, and people don't appreciate that talent.
Thanks. Trevor, have you actually filmed any iconic people? Like, there's a difference between celebrity, A-list, B-list. There's a difference between like movie star, and then there's iconic people. And I remember one of my iconic people I've gotten was Cher, and I got to interview Cher, and it was weird. It was during when Trump was becoming president, roughly, and she was like involved with some protest in New York City. I remember seeing her on the street, and she was going to go on a stage just speaking. She's just standing there. I said, "Hey, can I speak to you?" And she was super cool. I interviewed her. I even said, "Can I get a photo with her?" Absolutely. I got a great photo of me and Cher, which is like insane. Like to the point where it was Cher. I didn't even know if it was her. I was like, "Are you a real person?" Because she was just standing there, not even a lot of people with her, no entourage. But for me, you know, again, I'm curious who you got to see iconic, but mine was Prince. And all of a sudden, I saw a name on a car, on a black SUV outside the Ritz-Carlton. And it was like, it was a good car. When I mean a car, it was like, it seemed like it was a nice SUV where they're going to pick up a celebrity. And there was a name on the car. And I Googled the name of the person. And it was like a keyboard or guitar player for Prince's band. I go, this is weird. And I'm just going to stand here and have my camera ready. And after waiting there for like 5 minutes, Prince comes running out, not running, skipping out. Prince was skipping out of the Ritz-Carlton super quick and jumps in the car. And
love
I was
it.
Like, holy shit, it's Prince. Like, I never thought in my life I'd see Prince. Sure enough, about 10 days later, he passes away. And it was one of the last shots of Prince that anyone's ever saw.
You got it?
Have you ever, A, like, met anyone iconic and B, had, like, one of those shots where it was the last maybe time we saw the person?
I hate how you set that up, Adam, because it kind of coincides with my failures of not reeling the big fish of Lindsay Lohan in, not reeling the big fish of Miley Cyrus in. And here is me not reeling in the big fish of an iconic individual. Okay, you ready?
Yep.
We're
buckling up. Hold on.
It's not that good because it doesn't have a climax. It just tapers off and you're like, that's it. Whitney Houston.
Oh, okay.
Whitney. So I don't know where Whitney is from or, you know, is based. Is she an East Coast gal? Is she a West Coast gal? But at the time, she was in Beverly Hills, and I would see her driving around this white Escalade often. And once, you know, a celebrity's in town, they've got their car and they're frequenting, it's easy to kind of spot them. And I was never really good at this, spotting cars, spotting license plates. A fun trick, especially if, you know, you can apply this in real life today. If anybody ever if anybody ever hit and runs you, all you need is the make and model of the car, the color, and the last three digits on the plate. The first four, you don't need them. It's just the last three, and they're all numerical. And so this is how us as paparazzi would spot celebrity cars, because they would all drive Escalades. They would all drive Range Rovers. So it'd be like Kim Kardashian, for example. She had a black Range Rover, but the plate was 664. So that's how you would know it's Kim's car. So I'm in Beverly Hills. The sun is set. It's dark out, but I see this white Escalade driving around, and I look at the plate and I'm like, holy shit, I think that's Whitney Houston's Escalade. So I start to tail it. And the closer we get to Beverly Hills Hotel, the more I feel that this actually is Whitney Houston. So at the time, I was doing what's called double dipping. I don't want to admit this, but, you know, being a young buck out in the streets, you got to make money any way you can. And double dipping is when a paparazzo is, you know, pretty loyal to an agency, has their agency, but is also shooting on the side and giving that content to a different agency. So I had a still camera at the time, TMZ, strictly video, but I was trying to make extra money, trying to fucking hustle. And TMZ paid you salary. There was no bonus structure. So, you know, it was great because if you didn't shoot anything that day, you still get paid. But if you shoot Whitney Houston and she dies 2 days later, you get paid the same. So I followed this white Escalade into the Beverly Hills Hotel valet drive-through thing. And this is, it's all learning experiences and judging the situation, but I fucked this up because I had my still camera on right next to me in my passenger front seat, but I didn't bring it with me when I wanted to check to make sure this was Whitney getting out of her car, because hotel security is real gnarly. There was a lot of people out front, and I really didn't want to bring any attention to myself. I'm trying to stay pretty low profile here. So her car parks, I get out, and I like briskly walk over to the entrance of the Beverly Hills Hotel, and out steps Whitney Houston. I'm like, I froze for 2 seconds, which was two critical seconds. I ran back to my car, grabbed the still camera, ran back, and by the time I was ready to shoot, she was inside the lobby. I'm like, fuck me, dude. Like, I'm not going to go into the hotel and shoot her. Like, I miss my shot. I had told one other pap that she was staying at the Beverly Hills Hotel. That's all I told him. I go, yeah, Whitney Houston's staying here, you know, up to you on whether or not you want to wait for her to come out. Well, he did. And I believe he got her just going to like a coffee shop or getting something to eat. Real simple. Well, the next fucking day, sadly, she tragically passes away. And
he got the last shot.
That pap who I told about her whereabouts, who got the last shot, that fool made so much money. He was a Latino guy. He made so much money that he went down and opened up a fucking huge restaurant in Mexico. Okay?
Oh my God.
And he would tell me, Trevor, if this wasn't for you, I wouldn't have been able to open up a restaurant in Mexico. He's like, I'm supporting my whole family. I'm like, Jesus, dude. Like, oh my God. And you know, what's really funny is had I just had this in my pocket, I would have been able to go, get. And those would have been the pictures I needed. Whereas before,
wow,
just not having the big camera in my hand, not being ready, just fucked that up. So iconic, Adam. I saw Prince once. Didn't really do anything for me. But I missed out on this Whitney Houston shot that probably would have made me some shekels.
Wow, that's crazy. Like, it just reminds me of how, like, Lisa Marie Presley was literally out. We were all seeing videos of her literally 2 days earlier and then gone.
Yeah.
You know what's so funny? I had a thing where so we used to see Joan Rivers all the time. We saw her all the time. It was such an easy shot to get. And Joan Rivers was one of the best people because she was always nice. She was always fun. She was cool. She was pleasant. She was always good for jokes. And Joan was the type of person I'd go, hey, Joan, before I'd film her, I'd say, Joan, what do you got today? She'd go, ask me about Kim Kardashian. Ask me about, you know, you would tee her up to hit a home run. She always had great jokes. And when you were done interviewing her, she would always take the earrings from her ear and say, hey, give this to your grandmother, because she had a big line of jewelry. So one day my buddy says to me, he goes, oh, I'm sorry. I Joan Rivers was doing an easy event around the corner from where I was. But the band, what was the band's name? Train was doing a gig, like a small gig downtown. And I could get Joan Rivers all the time, but my buddy was a huge fan of the band Train. So I said, screw Joan Rivers. I'm going to go for Train. You know, my buddy Lance wanted to always meet the band Train. I'm going to go for Train, introduce the lead singer to my buddy Lance. It's going to be great. The next day, Joan Rivers passed away. And I could have been Joan Rivers' last interview. And I was like, I could get Joan anytime. But I gave up that interview for Train.
And fucking Train.
That was a bad decision on your part. I don't know what's worse, Trevor telling Miley he works for TMZ or you not getting that shot.
God damn it.
I want to bring up something actually. You know, again, you guys aren't Eskimo brothers. But you guys,
Trevor and I,
Trevor, you've had, you know, you're asking my brothers with
are we?
DJ Pauly D and Donald Trump Jr. But
I'm happy
you
about
guys
that Pauly D one.
Yeah. But you guys have both had interesting run-ins with Suge Knight, you know, which nice. Dax, explain just who is Suge Knight for some people who don't know who Suge Knight is.
Suge Knight is a music executive in the rap world, legend. He ran Death Row Records, was in the car when Tupac was shot. Like, he's just like a really, really well-known individual in the rap world, but like also a really scary guy. Like, you hear stories about it. Wasn't he the one that allegedly held like Vanilla Ice over a ledge by his feet? Like, and he's, you know, he's had some run-ins. My run-in with him was scary because he's a tall dude. He's over 6 foot tall, probably a good 300 pounds. Not like fat, just big boned, beefy dude. That and I happened to run into him outside of bankruptcy court, so he was already in a pissed off mood. Just lost $100 million. I'm out there with a camera, like, hey, do you want to talk about this? And obviously, that's a no-go. And ended up getting like cornered by him and his buddies in an alleyway, and it was
probably
a pretty intense, one of the scarier moments of my life. I basically was like, never doing this shit again. I don't know if I did any camera work after that. That might have been the catalyst to the end of me filming in public, honestly.
Dax's paparazzo career fucking started at Buca di Beppo with like the very desperate like Housewives cast who were just like waiting for someone to talk to, and then ended
American Idol cast.
Him getting cornered in an alley by Suge Knight's posse. How tall is Suge Knight?
Let's see, Google, what you got for us, girl?
Siri says 6'2", but I think that's a mistake. He's like 7'2".
He is huge. He's a big, big man.
Yeah.
And so that was a scary moment for me. But like, was your moment scary? Did you have a good shit with Suge Knight?
My moments with Suge Knight started off great, but then they got a little weird. So I had a setup shot with him. Now, a setup shot is when TMZ corresponds with the celebrity or the subject and tease them up.
So it doesn't have to be TMZ. It could be anyone out there. Anyone that just like you need a shot and you talk to them and they say, okay, I'll be here, yeah, so I can get my word out or whatever.
It's relatively staged. They know a cameraman is going to come in impromptu interview them. So that's what happened. It was to take place at El Torito Mexican restaurant in Beverly Hills, which is on the corner of Wilshire Boulevard and Camden. I think it's still there. But I get there. It's like a summer day. It's like 3 p.m. And I get out and I see him. He is an imposing force. He is huge. Like, the man could create an eclipse just by standing in front of the sun. So he's with his, like, I don't know, 3 or 4 year old daughter, and they're walking up the sidewalk. Again, I'm prompted. This whole thing is set up. He knows I'm coming. And so I open up the camera. I go, Mr. Knight, good afternoon. How are you, sir? I got a question regarding that. And he goes, not today. I'm like, the fuck you mean not today? I'm like, this is all set up, dude. And he's like, not today. I don't want to deal with the cameras. And I'm like, Mr. Knight. No, he goes, I said not today. I'm like, okay. So turn the camera off. And I think that was it. I walk up to him, we get close, and I'm like, this dude is huge. And he goes, look, man, I'm sorry, but I'm just really not in the mood today. I'm with my daughter. He goes, let's do it another time. I'm like, yeah, sure, dude. Something like, whatever. I get back in my car, and this is where it started to get kind of real. Is he said he didn't want to do the shot, so I left him alone. I got back in my car, and then I was either texting Diana saying, I don't know what the hell just happened, but this setup shot ain't going through. Suge doesn't want to do it. And like the eclipse I mentioned him to be, I had a sunroof in this vehicle, and it was open at the time. It was summer. He fucking leans over the sunroof, and like my entire car got dark, and I'm like, what the fuck? And I look up and he's got both of his arms on the roof of my car and he's leaned into my sunroof. And he goes, say, man, like, I'm sorry we ain't gonna do this today, but like, let me get your number and we'll coordinate setting up a shot. I'm like, all right. So he goes, what is it? I'm like, 858. And he goes, 858, oh, Dago? You from San Diego? And I'm like, yes, sir. And he just goes, oh, shit, you like the Chargers? And I'm like, fuck yeah, I love the Chargers. He goes, hell yeah. He goes, we got to go to a game together. He's like, I got box season tickets. What? I'm like, fuck yeah, let's go. And so he's like, all right, cool. Give me the rest of your number. So give him the rest of the number. And he's just like, shit, man, football, Dago. He goes, you know what? Get out the car, man. And let's do this interview right now. And I'm like, seriously? And he goes, yeah, I'm ready to do this now. Get out. I'm like, okay. So I get out of the car. I'm like, all right, this is what we're going to talk about. He goes, cool. He goes, but I'm not going to be answering any of your questions. I'm like, what, dude? And he goes, my daughter going to be doing all the talking. I'm like, your daughter is 4 years old, sir. Like, I really don't know if this is like what we're looking for today, but fine. So I ask him a question as he's like, now it's a real setup shot. I go, Mr. Knight, just walk this way. I'm going to ask you a series of 3 questions and we'll be done. Okay. And so I ask him question number 1 and he just goes and like points to his daughter and she just goes, me, 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 me. I'm like, all right. Question number 2, he just goes, baby girl, answer the man. And she gives me like an inaudible fucking answer. I'm like, this is not going to be producible whatsoever. So I wrap up the shoot. Done. I go, Mr. Knight, thanks so much. And he goes, absolutely. He goes, come over here. Let me talk to you for a second. grabs my hand and like in the movie Friday when like Debo would grab Craig and Day-Day and like pull him in real fast. And it's like this violent, he brings me forward and he goes, say, man, he goes, anybody out here ever given you any problems, any trouble? He goes, you call me and I'm gonna send a couple motherfuckers down to deal with them. I'm like my heart. I'm just like, Mr.
See,
Knight.
I was gonna be one of those motherfuckers that were dealt with.
Huh? I go, Mr. Knight, mm-hmm. I go, I am beyond honored that you'd offer me such protection. I don't think I need that type of services out in the street. He goes, just, you know, but that's what he told me. He goes, if anybody's ever fucking with you, give me a call and I'll send some motherfuckers down to deal with them. I'm just like, yo, I'm in the mix, baby. I got backup now. So I was like, look, cool. Thanks for letting me interview you. Let's go to a Charger game sometime for real. He goes, yeah, cool, cool. So at the time, I was working on a bunch of different projects, and I think I had mentioned to you guys last time that a lot of these projects had stemmed from the wild run-ins that were going on in my daily life in TMZ. And my buddy, Josh Sandoval, who is still an executive producer to this day in LA, he's from my hometown in San Diego. And him and I linked up one night at a Dodger game because he was working for the LA Times, and I was working for TMZ. And he was like, dude, what are you doing at this job? Like, I got to hear more about it. Let's go to a Dodger game. So we go to a Dodger game and I start giving him the ins and outs of what I've been doing. He goes, this is the craziest shit I've ever heard in my life. Like, I've got to write an article on you. Like, I won't say your name or anything to get you in trouble. But like, I'm like, bro, you should come on a ride along. Like, just come on a ride along. Come sit in my car for the next 3 or 4 days and we'll see what happens. And I took him to like doorstepping Lindsay Lohan's house. I took him on the craziest fucking car chases where during the day, I called it the snake, where there would be a line of cars, 6, 8, 10 cars deep chasing celebrities like Lindsay Lohan, Britney Spears, Kim Kardashian. And I called it the snake because if the snake broke a link, the guys who didn't make that red light would be fucked. So it was imperative to stay bumper to bumper with the other PAPs in order to not have any cross traffic.
Not
come
care
through.
About the lights. Yeah,
exactly. So, and like the celebrities' assistants were really good at this shit. They would drive kind of slow, waiting for the yellow, then the red, and they would run the red, knowing that all the PAPs, 10 cars deep, would have to do the same thing if they wanted the shop. And guess what? We gonna do it. But it was.
I saw it with my own eyes. Dude, I saw Britney Spears.
It was crazy.
And I saw a PAP line of
yes.
50 fucking PAP cars following her, not caring what lights. I mean, it was the wildest thing I've ever seen in the streets of LA. And it was just car after car after car after
yep.
car.
That was like one of like those times, 2008, 2009, 2010, when Britney Spears was like crazy shaving her head shit. This is when the paparazzi, I think, were most aggressive. This is when there was the most money to be made. And we would do shit that we just had to do. And the problem was with TMZ getting paid salary is the incentive isn't there, you know, monetarily. It was more so but to prevent.
It's put into place that way.
Yes, it
that
did.
Way, so that you aren't driven by money to do dumb illegal shit.
Right. But we ended up doing dumb illegal shit because if we didn't get the shot that everybody else got, you know what was going to happen. It was going to be a fucking shit storm. So we tried to follow the law as much as we could. We didn't do things that were like crazy illegal to get the shot because at the end of the day, we're going to see this person later. We'll have another opportunity. But those car chases were fucking insane. And my buddy Josh came along with me and started documenting everything we were doing. And when I would run into somebody of some sort of influence or interest, I would always text or call Josh and be like, dude, I'm about to shoot so-and-so. He'd be like, this is fucking great, Trevor. This is what you need to ask them. And then pitch them this. See if we can form a relationship with them on the side. And so I told him one day, I go, dude, I'm about to fucking shoot Suge Knight. And he's like, holy shit. Like, you know, see if you can network something with them. I didn't have to do any of that because Suge is the one that took the reins on like inviting me to the Charger game, et cetera, et cetera. So what happened was, is I gave Suge my phone number, okay, with hopes that he would call me for a Charger game. That's not what happened. What happened was, is I relayed to my buddy Josh that I had met him and I told him what happened. He goes, that's fucking crazy. And you know what? No one's ever done a documentary on Suge from Suge's point of view on like what happened with all the Tupac stuff and all of that. Like no one's told Suge's story. So Josh, my creative partner, who is a writer, drafted up this really rad documentary treatment. And he goes, Trevor, I need you to reach out to Suge and pitch this to him. I'm like, fuck. So I call up Suge and I'm like, yo, Suge, it was a pleasure meeting you. My partner and I drafted a documentary about you. We want to tell your story. No one's heard your voice on this, and we want you to tell the tale. And he was down. He's like, yeah. He's like, I'm interested in this. He's like, why don't we take a creative meeting together next week? I'm like, sure. When and where? He goes, 5 p.m., Four Seasons Hotel, Beverly Hills. Meet me there. I'm like, all right. So I get hooked up with my buddy Josh. We drive over to the hotel, and we see Suge, and he's out on like the patio smoking cigars with like dangerous looking dudes, like four or five of them. And I walk up and I go, Mr. Knight, good afternoon. Nice to see you again. This is my creative partner, Josh. He's the one that's helped me draft the documentary we'd like to talk to you about. He goes, yeah, yeah, cool. Go inside and wait for me. Just go sit at the bar. Like, okay. So Josh and I go in and we sit at the bar. And we literally sat at the bar by ourselves for an hour. And I'm looking at Josh like, dude, do I go up? And Josh goes, don't you dare get up and go interrupt him from smoking his cigar. He'll come in when he wants to come in. He knows we're here. He goes, just shut the fuck up and drink your beer. So we chill out. We wait. And that's what happened. Suge finally finishes his cigar sesh, stands up and comes inside. Sits down with us.
That's a power move right there.
Mm-hmm. And we begin to present and pitch this documentary to him. He's super interested in it. He's like, no one's ever, you know, come to me with this opportunity, and I've always wanted to tell my side of the story. We're like, this is awesome. This is awesome. And then the waitress comes over and she goes, hi guys, can I take your order for dinner? I'll have this. Josh will have this. And then Suge goes, I want the ground turkey pasta. And she goes, well, I'm sorry, sir. We're in the bar part of the hotel. That pasta dish that he knows, Suge knows what he's ordering because he's been there before. She goes, that's not offered in this part of the hotel. That's in the main restaurant. And he looks at her and he goes, I said I want the ground turkey penne pasta. And Josh is like, if you value your life, you will go to the other side of the hotel and you will get this man his pasta. And so she was like real reluctant. We're like, dude, you don't know who the fuck this is. Like, go get him the pasta. So she ends up going and getting him the pasta. As soon as it gets delivered to him, we're in the middle of like creating this project with him. And he leans over to my buddy Josh and goes, give me your finger. And so Josh like gives Suge his finger, and Suge grabs his hand and puts it on his skull and goes, do you feel that? And Josh goes, yeah. He goes, that's the bullet that was shot into the car when I was in it with Tupac, when Tupac was murdered in Las Vegas. He goes, it's still lodged in my head.
The actual bullet itself?
Yeah. Or it's still in his fucking head. No, it's the bullet.
What?
And so I'm looking at Josh like, damn, you two are getting real connected. Like, I'm out of this. So Josh felt the bullet. We ate dinner. I think we ended up paying for it. You know, it was our pleasure. And he goes, look, I'm really down. You know, what's the plan from here? I'm like, well, we've got a couple of different production companies that we're going to pitch this to. We've got a few that are interested, and we'll follow up. We got a lot of interest. We had a development deal with a company on this project. And then what happened was, is one night I get a call from Josh super late, like abnormally late for Josh. I'm still up. I think it was like 1 a.m. And Josh goes, dude, Suge just called me. I'm like, okay, what are we doing tonight? And he goes, dude, he's in jail. I'm like, yeah. And you're his fucking one phone call? And he goes, yes. He goes, I'm freaking out right now. But what happened was, is Suge is still in prison for what he did. And TMZ covered this story. They covered it very well.
This is like the running over the guy, right?
Right. There was a music video taking place in Compton, which I believe was in the realm geographically of Suge's jurisdiction. And I don't know if Suge was a Blood or a Crip, but basically, the individuals who were conducting this music video did not ask for Suge's permission. Okay. So Suge.
Well, we know that story. I want to hear the end of your story.
Oh, good.
How does it end?
So Suge called my partner Josh from jail asking to be bailed out. And that's essentially how it ended. Is
so no, nothing else after that.
We didn't bail him out and nobody bailed him out. He's still in prison for committing that manslaughter. You fucking murdered a guy. And so, like a lot of my opportunities through TMZ, this one, like Miley Cyrus and Lindsay Lohan, all also went up in flames.
Dude, your life is like just about bad timing.
Don't say that, Dax. I got Aubrey O'Day, dude. Divine timing.
Oh, man. How has it already been like an hour and some change? I don't understand.
Do we do a part three?
How our time with you goes so fast. It makes no sense. There's numerous questions, again, that we still haven't got to. Kim Kardashian, John Voight. Like, there's other stories that we were supposed to get to. We still haven't got to. We're going to have to do a part three at some point.
I'm ready, dude. I'm ready. The more I talk to you, the more I remember, because this stuff is buried in the catacombs of my brain. But it's really wild to kind of unzip that and see what falls out, because it was the craziest time of my life. Working for TMZ was one of the most exciting, spontaneous, anything could happen every single day moments of my life. And like Adam said, it takes a really specific individual not only to get the job, but to do the job well and stay there for years on end, where different shit could happen at any moment of your life.
Dude, it's so wild. Well, Trevor, thank you again, dude, for coming on. Follow Trevor, by the way. Go on to Instagram, just at Trevor Wayne. I'm correct, right? Just Trevor Wayne is your handle?
Yeah, there is another Trevor Wayne in the world, but we're not the same.
Yes, follow him. He's a great follow. He's already got a huge audience. But dude, we're gonna have to have you back. We've never had someone back this quickly, by the way.
I appreciate it.
I think your stories are just so fun. You're so compelling, and you're a good storyteller.
Thank you, dude.
On top of it, which makes it fun to even just listen to your adventures through Hollywood. So thank you for coming back on, and we're going to do it again.
Thanks for having me, guys. I very much appreciate it. Dax, this weekend, go to the Irvine Spectrum. Check out the carousel just out in front of the Yard House. Take a picture and send it to me, because magic happened there, dude.
That was Trevor. Follow Trevor at Trevor Wayne. I love talking to guys like him, because people like him just have, like I said earlier in the podcast, they just have the best stories, and you get to hear from their experience what happened. Trevor was just... he chased women and he did very well. I mean, balls of steel to go up to Miley Cyrus. So, I mean, I just love those stories. And when I talk to guys who do what I do, like we could talk for hours. And my first question is like, how is that person? Are they cool? Are they not? Like, this is the conversation we just had with Trevor is a conversation we have on the phone. I don't know. I love those guys. You know what? There's not so many guys who are willing to talk. You know, because I don't know, for some reason, it's a tight-knit community, because there's not that many people who have done the job or who do the job, but not many want to tell us stories. And fortunately for us, we've had a few very, very good guys and people that shared some of their stories, because they're just incredible stories. But make sure, again, you follow Trevor. Follow us at on Instagram, at Hollywood Raw Pod. We're also on TikTok. We also have this private Facebook group called Off the Record, which is a really, really great community where you guys can ask us questions. You guys talk to each other. It's just really cool. It's a fun engagement. Find me on social media at Adam Glenn. Find Dax Holt at Dax Holtz. See you guys next time.
A Huda Media Production.